Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
I think you might find this is episode 351. Top of the day to you, Steph.
Top of the day to you.
I'm just going to have a quick...
Ms. Leah.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to have a quick drink of water.
Me too. I don't like to be left out.
Because it's warm. Like, it's not hot, but it's warm. I'm wearing tracksuit pants and I feel like I'm overdressed. Temperature-wise, obviously.
I've got slippers on. My feet are hot.
Oh, do you? Yeah, they would be really hot. Yeah. Do you like knowing stuff about teachers?
Yeah.
Terrific. We'll be doing a quiz about that soon. Yes, a quiz about teachers coming up for us, obviously, at the end of the, program podcast. And I've watched something about teachers, hence the,
Are they teachers from movies and TV shows?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So have a little think. Not like, don't be all silent right now about it, but just a little think, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
And stop.
And that will be enough. I feel like there's also, initially when I started looking for some news stories from the past week, there wasn't really that much. And I was like, oh, that's a real shame. That would have thought there'd be more. But then the more I looked, the more that came out.
I heard a sad news story.
Oh, tell
Do you
me.
Have a sad one in your lot?
No.
Because I don't do the prep with you, so yeah. It's always a surprise for me. A sad one that Nicole Kidman was in Venice for the Venice Film Festival and was about to go and receive, I forget the title, but like a lifetime achievement type award, and she had to pull out because she found out that her mother had just passed away and had to fly back to Australia. Isn't that sad?
That is really sad. News. I don't like that story. No, that's really sad. There's been a lot of stuff from Venice. Not that sad, but a lot of stuff. Oh, that's really sad. Well, should I try and get into the news that's a little, well, none of it's sad.
Is it upbeat?
Mm.
Is it footloose and fancy free?
I'll start with this one then.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get into the news.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Beetlejuice, the second one, don't say it for the third time, otherwise he'll arrive.
And only do 16 minutes on screen. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't.
Does.
That's all he does?
Beetlejuice 2. He does the exact same amount of screen time that he did in the first one, which is 16 minutes. Get out of town, right?
I had no idea it was only that much.
He's the scariest person around.
And the funny thing is I'd only seen Beetlejuice maybe 2 years ago and I do not recall
it being so minimal.
Yeah. Although there is a big lead up time, I guess, because you've got Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin in that house and then, you know, you've got the new owners coming in of with Winona Ryder in there as well as the daughter. So, yeah, because they need what is the story behind it? She needs them. She needs him to get rid of them or vice versa. Or they need him to help them move on.
Yes.
I think that's what I'm – obviously it's time for me to watch it again. I only watched it a couple of years ago. It's time for me to watch it again, obviously ahead of
– Did you find it scary as a kid?
Yeah.
No,
but
did.
funny scary. Like, as a kid, black comedy, which is kind of what it is, I would not be able to have told you how it felt, but now that I think about it, it was icky, icky funny.
That's a really good description of black comedy in general, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. Even Murder Most Horrid, icky, icky funny.
Yeah, because it's not supposed to be funny, but
it's
murders. Is funny.
Yeah, exactly. Ghosts doing.
See, Beetlejuice, me, he was terrifying. I was younger,
and they had the guy with the little head. That was a bit scary.
But also, because we watched those movies not once,
we watch it all the time.
All the time. Same with the Goonies. Mm-hmm. Same with the Blue
Lagoon.
Take Blue Lagoon out because I didn't feel like I did a little bit, but not as much. Mm-hmm. But with Beetlejuice, with Goonies, with the Burbs, but Beetlejuice in particular, for me as a
more
kid.
More than the Burbs, interesting.
It was the anticipation of the bit I don't like is coming, so I can't relax and enjoy this long lead up with other characters because I know something Scary's coming up.
Yeah, I'm going to ignore the rest of this scene because I'm too scared.
I'm thinking about it already.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was like the burbs move into the house. There's a radiator or what are they called? Furnace. Down the basement. It was like, just keep the door closed. Don't even.
I feel like even if I watched the burbs today, I'd be a bit scared.
Yeah.
It was a bit scary, right?
I thought it was so scary.
Probably more so now.
More scary?
Just because you'd be like, I think I know that kind of neighbor. They live two doors down, that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Maybe. But I was talking about Beetlejuice, which is the sequel of Beetlejuice. It has made $145.4 million at the global box office.
Whoa.
That's a lot, right? It goes to show you, you've got Michael Keaton on the screen for 16 minutes. You've got Winona Ryder. You've got Jenna Ortega. You've got
I think Jenna Ortega is really bringing in people.
Of course.
And I'm really sorry I've gone blank on her name, the woman.
Winona?
No, the mother who was in Schitt's Creek as well. I reckon so many people are going for her.
Because Schitt's Creek was a massive success, right? It was absolutely massive.
She's got a
people
following.
Watched it all the time. Catherine O'Hara, of course. She was the mother in the Home Alone movies. Well, the ones that involved Macaulay. Yeah. I don't know if she was in the others.
My apologies for getting her name completely.
Jeffrey Jones was the father, if you remember him. You'd know his face if you saw him. 100%. You'd be like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Him. Was he the principal in Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Was he?
Yes, he was. Yeah, that kind of downtrodden look on his face. That guy.
Yeah.
Mm.
All I could picture was the principal in The Breakfast Club.
Oh, yeah. No.
No.
I love how
you go,
oh, yeah, no. No, sorry, but no. 140, that's a good amount, and it seems like the kind of film that would resonate with people. I mean, we've been excited about it ever since we heard it. It was even in pre-production because it's got the cast, like you said. It's got the story that we know and it's adding on to it, and it seems like it's been done with a lot of care and attention and the same vibe. I want to call it vibe. It's the same vibe.
Yeah. And I feel like people are going because it's got that integrity behind it. A lot of these big movie chains just shoot out a movie every season, every year, and it sort of starts to feel like, did you have that integrity in what you wanted to do in the project, in the story?
Yes.
Whereas it's like, wait the decades in between.
For the payoff.
Yes.
Because this is the kind of film that people who don't usually go to the movies would be like, oh, let's make a night of it.
Exactly.
Or let's make an afternoon of it.
Exactly.
Let's
go. We're not doing the night because it's too scary.
Yeah, obviously.
We're traumatized from childhood.
Traumatized. Speaking of traumatized, were you ever traumatized by Kathy Bates? You probably weren't. I wasn't.
No, because
when she was in Misery, we didn't watch Misery. What did we watch?
French and Saunders Misery. So my only knowledge of Misery was that black comedy.
It's a black comedy, a little bit icky.
Yeah, a bit icky, but
it really wasn't a comedy.
But my knowledge of Kathy Bates as a kid is Fried Green Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And she's delightful in that.
She's wonderful. And she's been doing films and TV shows ever since. In fact, she's been in Hollywood working as an actress for 5 decades.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I would never have guessed it was that long. Anyway, she said she's going to retire soon. Yep. She's going to say, no thanks, I'm finished, once she finishes up her her role in the reboot of Matlock. I was going to say Madlock. That's not how it is. Matlock. And then that's it. So if you want to see her last dance, as she calls it, she says, this is my last dance. It's going to be on Paramount Plus, and I think it premieres late September, so we don't have very long to wait. But what a back catalogue. Maybe she's saying never, but maybe this is not never. You know, if something else comes up. She was talking about a production that she did. She said it earlier this year, and she was talking about how there was a film that she was shooting and it really soured her, but she didn't say exactly what the production was. So now, you know, we're kind of all looking at IMDb going, okay, was so it was in one? Pre-production. So it must have been done in 2023. She said film. And the fact that she was able to not finish on that, that she was able to finish on Matlock,
yes,
the reboot, she must be like, okay, like maybe she feels the change in Hollywood, which I would imagine Hollywood's not always amazing. Getting. You know what I mean? Like
yes.
Problems, especially behind the scenes, she would see way more than others. But to be like, okay, I was happy with this.
But also Hollywood is that industry where either you decide no more or they decide no more when you still want to work. So I have great respect for somebody who goes, you know what? I am over retirement age. Why don't I just retire like everybody else?
Yep.
And retire on something good. And if the industry is changing, that's often a reason why people do retire or back out.
Yeah. And it's funny when you think about actors and actresses from who were massive names or still are massive names, and you think, hang on a second, I haven't seen Jack Nicholson in anything for years.
Yeah.
They're not like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, my final thing. They're just like, I'm retiring now. Whether they choose to, I think when you're that up that high, you probably do choose to, but maybe it's due to health or whatever.
Yeah.
Where she, it sounds like, and she's like, you know what, I don't want to, I just actually don't want to work anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm
done.
Yeah.
I'm sick of playing that game.
Yeah. I just want to stop and enjoy the rest of my life. What a life, you know, to be able to choose that kind of thing. I mean, I guess most of us, at least within first world countries, are able to choose when we want to retire, but to a certain extent.
Yeah, but whether financially we can.
Exactly.
Continue living exactly.
The way we have. Do people who are similar ages to us, Elizabeth Moss, Kate Hudson? Wouldn't have thought those two would be in a film together, but apparently they are. And it was actually released at in Toronto, and it's called The Shell, Shell. It's called Shelf. And it seems really interesting because Elizabeth Moss has been, you know, I mean, they're doing publicity, so of course she's going to say this, but she said, I've been a long fan of Kate Hudson's work for ages. So she's playing opposite her in this film.
Is it a rom-com or a serious drama?
I'm going to read it through for you because they talk about how they're female stars of this movie that tackles age and the importance of looks, particularly for women, and how that's okay. So I'll give you a quick synopsis, right? So Elizabeth Moss plays an actress who's what we were just talking about. You either leave or you pushed out, and she's been pushed out. And then along comes a CEO of a wellness and beauty company who's got a bit of a personality, and she's played by Kate Hudson. And this is a little quote from Elizabeth Moss. She said, one of the things that Max, who's the director, and I talked about a lot about my character and my job was to really ground the film as much as possible. So she's like the one that's like, and Kate's role is the one that's like, she takes the other end of the spectrum where like you make acting look like it's the worst thing in the world, where you have a wellness
it feels like it was cast perfectly then.
Yes, I think so. And I'm kind of interested to see this movie now. Now, because it's already come out in Toronto, it probably won't take that long to come back, you know, into a worldwide box office. So maybe it might be a fun one to go and watch, you know, see these two A-list female actors play opposite each other. I imagine shenanigans. I imagine Kate Hudson's role, her character kind of taking over Elizabeth Moss' life, maybe using her. I feel like she might use her use her a bit. She might be a bit of a user of a character.
Maybe they're both using each other.
I think maybe you figured out the end of that story. I have to go and see it now. Sorry, guys.
Stop.
Not going. This is the last one that I've got before we get into some watching suggestions, and I thought it was an interesting one simply because of who's cast in this. So they're doing a mini-series about JonBenet Ramsey, that poor little six-year-old who was a beauty pageant queen who got murdered in her house.
Mm-hmm.
And they never found out who it was. The father will be played by Clive Owen.
Mm-hmm.
The mother will be played by Melissa McCarthy. Yeah. This is another one for Paramount Plus. We were talking about Kathy Bates in Matlock.
I don't know that I would touch that story with a 10-foot pole.
Also, I feel like we know as much as we want to know at this point in time. Like, it was a yucky story. Poor little kid got murdered. The mother got accused. Then she ended up dying of cancer. I think it was cancer. And now
didn't
it's
the father
just
this, get accused as
I
well?
I think he was as well. And now it's just like,
it's icky.
Yeah, 1996. That's when it happened. It's a long time ago now. That's nearly 30 years ago. Mm. And I'm trying to imagine Melissa McCarthy, and the only thing I can imagine is that back in 1996, and the fact that these, you know, the daughter and the mother were, I mean, she wasn't a beauty patcher, but they were in that world, that the hair's big, and I can imagine Melissa McCarthy having big hair to play the character.
Yeah.
That's about as, anyway, maybe this is, she wants to be doing more
serious
stuff. I'm not sure.
I mean, she's a capable actress. I've got absolutely nothing against her. I just
and she'll be fine in it. But yeah, you're right. I just feel, oh,
you know, those movies that are touching on true stories. Are they called biopics? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Like the I, Tonya.
Yep.
All of that. Like that sort of works, but I don't know. Dealing on the JonBenet Ramsey.
That true crime stuff as well. I'm sure it's still really popular, but is it only popular in a podcasting world now? I don't know. I kind of dipped in, dipped out with Serial, and that was kind of it. Listen to a few true crime.
I think it probably is podcast and documentaries, but there are some ones docos, where you just go, oh, it's about a child. Do we need to?
I totally understand what you're saying. We will have a palate cleanse and get into some watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
So what have you been watching? I think you mentioned documentary.
Yeah.
Was it a doco?
It was. Couldn't have been a better segue from what we were just talking about.
Oh, good.
It is a true crime documentary. Now, it's called Perfect Wife, and it's on Disney. It is about the Sherry Papini story. Now, if you had said her name to me, I would not have been able to pick it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I recognized her face and I recognized the photos. And I thought, why do I recognize that? Like, what was that story? Was it something to do with like Stockholm syndrome? That sort of stuff. No, it's not. It's a very, very convoluted story that you almost cannot believe that it's true. It feels like a A-lister blockbuster movie, like think Gone Girl and Girl on a Train, like those sorts of
full of twists.
Twists and turns and oh my gosh, stories. If we're going to be really just like flat out there with how the world works and how, I don't even think it's politically correct, but how biased, I should say, the world works. The reason why this story in a middle of nowhere town in America became worldwide news is because the wife is blonde hair, blue eyes, petite, beautiful looking woman.
She looks like she could be trying to get into Hollywood.
She's just gorgeous. Okay. And so back then when it happened, the world cared about those sorts of, you know, they were the stories that the media picked up. Here's this who you don't expect to get. Sorry, I should rewind. Sherry Papini was out running one day and never came home. Her phone was tracked to a couple of roads away and she was abducted. So that's what they discovered through there. The husband, of course, as the husband always is, was immediately brought in and questioned and all of that. But it took sort of the manpower and the social media push from the family and the friends to start tracking down clues and figuring out and then handing it almost to police to figure out what happened. What they found out, nobody really could have expected, and it was a lot of investigations and a lot of interviews with her. But so as I'm going back to it, you know, people do go missing and get abducted and things happen to them. all over the world. In America, you know, I don't know the statistics, but countless numbers of people every single day. We don't hear about them because they're not the blonde, blue-eyed,
I see what you're saying.
Stereotypical, perfect wives that go suddenly just go missing. For what reason? It's only three episodes on Disney. They're about just hitting on an hour each episode.
That's kind of hitting the limit.
It hit the limit and they did it perfectly. They did not stretch it out. And each episode was perfectly contained in the step that the story was taking at that moment. So they didn't sort of really stretch one episode out.
Okay, yeah.
They painted for you what the world was thinking in the first episode. They painted for you kind of what the husband was thinking in the second episode. And in the third episode, you have your answer. It all comes out. So it's not one of those docos where you're like, I still don't know who
it was. We didn't know what happened. Thanks for watching.
Yeah. It's all wrapped up and you get your answers and it's a twist you don't expect. It's nuts.
Oh, okay. What was it called?
Perfect Wife on Disney. I'm sure many of our listeners would, if they saw the photo of her, they'd go, I remember her. Like from newspapers or magazines.
What I think is interesting is I was going to ask you before I realized that you had said Disney, I was going to say, oh, does it follow that Netflix doco feel to it? But it's not Netflix doco.
It's not
so
a
it's
Netflix
really
doco.
Different.
It is different. Mm. It doesn't have – oh, look, it does use a bit of drone footage, which the Netflix one do
Everybody
a lot.
Has to, I guess.
But the storytelling of it – is very different to the Netflix storytelling.
Okay. That's good though,
yeah,
right?
It was good. Because the way they use the people, as all docos do really, they use the interviews with the main quote-unquote characters of the documentary to narrate it, the way they use those interviews to steer you down different ways for each episode.
Oh, so you're kind of like at the end of every episode, oh, I know what's happened.
Yeah, or you know, suddenly in one sentence you go, what?
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh,
so you weren't part of, okay.
Oh, you're innocent. I was sure you were the one. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, that sounds really good. Perfect Wife Disney.
Yes.
Funnily enough, what I want to talk about is from Disney as well.
No way.
Yeah, it's English Teacher.
No way, Jose.
No way, Jose. It's called English Teacher. No the, like in Perfect Wife.
Just drop it.
Eight episodes. I've only seen two. I believe there's a new one out this week, but as of this recording, it's not out yet. And it's set in Austin, which is a city in Texas. It's kind of the more progressive, liberal city in Texas. So they're kind of, I believe, basing it there because this English teacher is a gay man who is a high school teacher, English teacher.
In Texas.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like he seems quite sort of popular with the students, but not really. He's just kind of there. Like some students think he's really cool. He holds a book club outside of school and after school, but still on the school grounds. And those students seem to really like him. And the rest he's just kind of there sort of thing. He's called into his principal's office in the first episode, so I'm not giving too much away. Okay. It's kind of the premise. And the principal is played by Enrico Colantoni, who at first I was like, oh, I know that face, but the voice, is it? Or is it the voice? He was in Just Shoot Me. If you remember, that was about the fashion magazine and it had the main character and her father was the editor.
Yes.
And then you had David Spade who was just sort of there. And then you had the photographer who got all the ladies and you're like, why?
Yeah.
It's him.
Yeah, okay.
He's the bald bloke basically. And he plays the principal. Very different character. Very different. Or at least within the first two episodes, I don't know, it could change. And he says, we've had a complaint that so his boyfriend at the time was a dancer and they were doing sort of dance class at the school. And as his boyfriend was leaving, his boyfriend gave him a kiss goodbye.
Okay.
And he goes, I think I know which student it is. That's really strange because I'm sure he's gay. And he's like, oh, the principal said, oh, no. It wasn't him that made the complaint. It was the mother. And then it kind of goes on from there. So he keeps inadvertently and sometimes totally vertently, is that the word? I don't know. obviously pushing those boundaries a little bit to kind of go, it's not a wrong thing.
Yes.
Like you could see a female teacher kissing her husband goodbye kind of thing. So, I think it's kind of fun. It's a bit of fun. There's obviously a story and a message that it's trying to get out there. I'm going to continue watching it because the episodes are not that long. There's only 8 episodes in a season and it feels like something that you could watch midweek and be like, that's right, I've got
feels
that
like
on.
It's like something good, like new that's yes. out that you go, it's oh, new. I'm really happy to be watching something different.
And I like that it's once a week.
Yeah.
You know, kind of put you back to the days where you'd be like, okay, what's on Wednesday nights? Oh, okay, The X-Files, cool. I watch The X-Files and then Just Shoot Me or... Then they're my two shows for the
it's
night.
It's a very niche generation
it
who
really
go,
is.
Oh, Wednesday nights.
Well, I don't even know if
Thursday nights were the good nights
true.
For TV.
True. Well, I mean, not even that long ago, you had Monday nights
Monday
as the
nights.
Game of Thrones night, right?
But didn't? Wasn't Monday night Friends?
Friends? Well, at least here in Australia, I don't know. Might have been a Thursday.
Friends and Mad About You.
It's a good combo.
I mean, and then Friends and How I Met Your Mother.
And then Sex and the City, the new episode, followed by Sex and the City, the repeat.
That was a Thursday night.
Was it?
Yeah. And then once like Foxtel came in, Saturday night, you could just watch Sex and the City marathon. They just played them.
And then in the morning, get up in the morning and watch a Will and Grace marathon.
Yes, you're right. Oh, my gosh.
It was good.
It was a good time to
now
live.
Now that was living. Would you like to have a good time now and get into this quiz?
Yeah.
This one's called Movies and TV Shows About Teachers.
Oh, golly.
I thought it would be funnier, but it didn't. It just was... I just literally came up with the name of what it was.
That's okay because I was panicking quietly because there's a microphone in front of me.
Welcome Back, Cotter was a 1970 sitcom about a teacher who comes back to his old high school to teach a group of sweat hogs. Who is the big Hollywood actor star who played a student named Vincent Barbarino?
I know.
Who is the only famous person from that? Vincent Barbarino, 1970s, Italian heritage.
Give me the initials because I'm going blank.
JT.
JTT.
Little bit too early for him.
John Travolta.
Yes, absolutely.
That was close, eh? Didn't study for this test.
How many seasons of the sitcom on Disney, at least here in Australia, Abbott Elementary are there? How many seasons does that sitcom have?
I don't know.
Have a guess.
I've never seen it.
You'd like it.
3.
Yes.
I thought I would do so well. The things I was running in my head that I know have a teacher or about teaching or education or something, I thought I would do really well.
Okay. Did Mr. Radich in Degrassi Junior High have any facial hair?
Yeah.
What was it?
A beard.
Moustache.
Moustache.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a moustache, Leo. You're correct. But tick for me.
They weren't calling him Mr. Radich. They were just saying Radich, remember? Mm.
What were you worried he was Mrs. Radich?
I'd written Mr. Lawrence and I was like, that's wrong. And then I just Googled it and it looks like Lawrence was in the later like the next generation, like the Drake one.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm glad I double checked. Dangerous Minds, starring Michelle Pfeiffer as a school teacher in a high school set in a tough area, I think somewhere in, was it Compton or something?
Yeah. Like
what was the song that made that movie famous? Think of her in a film clip. It was a bit, it was very rappy.
I know. I've gone blank.
We're spending most of our lives living in a... Been spending.
Yes. Oh my God.
Minute after minute, hour after hour, all I've been something and something so long that even my mama can't tell if my stomach's a bulge. Been spending most of our lives living in a
ghetto gangster's paradise.
Big fan of Coolio.
And lyrics.
Yes.
They, you know, they are my strong suit lyrics.
I can see that.
Can't you see that?
What was the name of the movie where Cameron Diaz played a teacher?
Bad Teacher.
Mm-hmm. Final question. Who starred in the movie version of Heartbreak High? Just need two actors from the early 90s. I'll give you a clue.
My brain is gone. Yeah.
She was in Love My Way. She was in Spirited, I think it was called.
Claudia Carvin. Mm-hmm.
She played the teacher.
Oh.
And the young student's name was Alex de
Demetriadis.
Mm.
Okay. It's a nice mix. These are some of my questions I was going to. Okay. Who is the principal?
Is that the end of the question? Oh, sorry.
In The Simpsons.
It's the guy. Oh, I can think of Miss Crabapple.
Seriously.
I can see his face. Can you give me
S?
Springer.
Oh,
Springer.
No, that's Spanner. That's the town, Springfield.
Scully. Scoliosis.
Skin.
No. Skinner.
Yeah, Principal Skinner. Was.
Mm.
Question two. Was Gillian Anderson.
Right.
A teacher in sex education.
No, she was a mother, but she was also like a therapist.
Yeah, good on you.
That was kind of like that. As soon as you said her name, it would kind of jump back in because I was watching The X-Files last night.
Yeah, okay.
Any more? Let me think. Any more questions?
You did the Cameron Diaz one.
You did the Cameron Diaz. Other shows. Okay. All right.
Oh, I've got one. Okay. I've got one.
Okay.
Who starred in the British show called Teachers?
Oh,
male.
Yeah. It was Andrew Lincoln.
You can give me his nickname from another show that we know.
Egg.
Yay! It's all yours. Double points
Rick
for you.
Grimes. Okay, I've got one for you.
Okay.
Finish the end of this song. It's all right because I'm.
I don't know.
Because I wake up in the morning and I gotta admit to make the school on time and I get myself a something.
I'll stop it. Are you singing Degrassi because you're not singing it properly?
I get the rock that time. It's all right because I'm safe by the bell.
Okay. Wake up in the morning feeling
kind of.
Shy and lonely.
Gee, I gotta go to school. I don't think I can make it. Don't think I can take it. I wonder what I'm gonna do. Now, there were two, right? Because in high school, the high one changed. The junior high, the words were a little bit different.
It wasn't.
What show did Tiffany Amber Thiessen go on to star in after Saved by the Bell?
Beverly Hills.
Who did she replace?
Shannon Doherty.
But not the character, though.
No.
She was like, was she cousin. A cousin? She was a cousin. She was the cousin Oliver. Mm. But she worked. She worked in it where cousin Oliver didn't.
Yeah.
It was just like, who's this kid?
Yeah, true.
I loved all of that.
Me
particularly
too.
The bit where I had to sing Gangster's Paradise and Saved by the Bell lyrics whilst not remembering them.
Well, serves you right because you're asking me to remember them.
That's a good point. On that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
Nails down a chalkboard.